Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
I don't even think we need to clap this week. This week we're gonna snap like we had a poetry club.
Come on, okay. Love Jones.
Give it up. Now, let me tell you, welcome to the motherfucking Friend Zone Karaoke Lounge, right? Where every week we kick this shit off with somebody singing somebody else's song really well.
Man.
This week, we have none other than Fantasia Barrino, but let me tell you why that's so special. That is actually the very first time that the world heard her sing.
That was
at her American Idol audition.
Oh,
and most people
shit.
Think that when you think of her audition, you think about her singing Rolling on a River by Tina Turner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that was her second song. The first song she sang was that right there, which you just heard right there. Roll the tapes back if you're listening now, okay? Because what you just heard was her very first audition. She sang that before she sang Tina Turner. And as you can see, she's been fucking killing it. And look at how good she sounded then. And think about how refined her voice, even it's still as raw and original as it has ever been, but think about how refined her approach and her usage of her techniques vocally
right.
are now.
Right.
She's just in a whole different stratosphere, but the bitch been on. You know what I'm saying? We just gonna call it. She been on, as you can see.
Since song
and
one.
I just wanted to, bring, you know, awareness to that.
Come
okay?
on.
This is vocal awareness.
I like that.
That's what this is. That being said, we want to welcome everybody to the goddamn Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene, because who in the hell wants a musty brain or a bad note? I know Fantasia don't. Fran and Asante, how you doing?
Hello, hello. How's everyone doing? For those watching, I'm sorry about my lighting. Y'all see him in
Fran,
the
Fran, but you know, for those watching, they see their haircut. No, you don't
oh,
see that.
Oh, hell. Yeah. Had to do something.
Looking good.
Something fresh, something new.
Brandon,
you know?
Been to the chop shop, y'all.
Okay.
The chop shizop. It looks so good, friend.
Thank you. I'm giving you 1940s housewife. I'm with it. Super cute. Y'all know I love me a bob.
The cut is so blunt. I was going, girl, who cut your hair? Bruce Lee? It looked like somebody just chopped it up real quick. I was like, God damn, friend.
Ain't it
she
cute?
She done moved
shout
out and chopped
to
some of them inches off.
Yup, had to get mm-hmm. New York off of me, you know, had to get this chapter mm-hmm. and era off of me, make space for the new. So this is, you know, mm-hmm. they say you carry a lot of your energy in your hair. So I thought this was the perfect timing. Shout out to the Mona Cut, mm-hmm. who is the one
yes.
and only. I only let her touch my hair and I will continue to only let her touch my hair because I will be flying my ass back to New York. I only really cut my hair once every year and a half, 2 years anyways. So I'll just include her when I make my New York rounds and that'll yeah. be that. Cause you know, I'm sure there's some hair cutteries in Portland that might be fly. I'm sure the black
okay.
girls
yeah,
listening.
But we ain't worried about all that right now. You know what I'm
the
saying?
Black girls
shout
listening might put me on, you know, if you actually, yes, if you're listening and you are black in Portland, go ahead and put me on to Who Does Your Braids. Who does your eyebrows, your nails?
If they all look right. Fran ain't gonna say it, but I will. Cause goddamn it, y'all mirror work just like ours do. And you know if your hair ain't, you know if you just getting by. You know what I'm saying? So not you, okay? Love you, but not you. This is for the ones with the booming system.
Okay.
The ones that can actually cut and do some hair. That's who she need. Now, she ain't going to clean it up, but I'm going to filter it through. So there you go, friend.
So put a sister on. So that's it. How are your weekends? You guys look festive and rested. Yeah, right. We've all been tired as hell.
Okay.
I've been out. I went out every goddamn night this weekend. And
shout
out to everybody who... So a couple things. Mm-hmm. Shout out to everybody that came out. I hosted at Club 51 here in New York on Saturday night.
So cute.
Asante
Justin.
Pulled up on a nigga.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. I had a great time. And Asante, so much happened after you left. We'll have to offline. it was a great night. So shout out to them. Shout out to Sean Don Events. Follow him, Sean Don, on Instagram. Great parties in the city of New York.
It was lit.
Yes. Shout out to my boy Frank Watson, friend. You know Frank. Frank also threw a bomb party on Sunday. Frank, we party. We had a good time on Sunday. Great time. Shout out to him.
Hey, Frank.
We went to the concert. Frank. Me, Asante, and Mandy went to the concert to see.
I saw. Y'all look so cute.
J. Cole, 21 Savage.
How was
Morris.
It? Was it good?
It was incredible. Super lit. Morey is super talented. That nigga can sing. 21 Savage is a
star. Bozzy. Bozzy.
Oh, yeah. Bozzy was out there. He was out there singing too. He could sing. 21 Savage is a star. You know, he did his set. And J. Cole, obviously, a lyrical legend. Just
I don't know
great more, A1 show.
I need to look up more.
You heard that song. I'm in love with a quicksand.
Oh, that's...
North Carolina?
Okay.
I forgot where they say he was from, but he's fairly new. And it was funny because a lot of people was like... They was like jamming with him and he was getting that energy, but he was singing and going and it was lit. Barclays was off the chain. They was checking the tests and stuff at the door. So, you know, well, I felt safe when I was in the building.
How cute.
And you know what else? I'm going to tell you something else too. Fuck all that, right? I'm not giving no disclaimer no more. I went. If they had the protocol or not, I went. And here's the thing. I made sure that I had what I needed to have to even be up in there. I'm tired of, no longer am I going to be bound by this prison of justifying the places that, the places you will go. You know what I'm saying? No longer am I bound. Like, damn it, I was there and I ain't telling you that I had to get a COVID test. I'm not telling you that I had to show my NY Excelsior pass to get in the motherfucker. I'm not doing it no more. We are freed of that.
I told y'all that shout out to India Sean, who is the opening act for Mayor Hawthorne's tour. And they have a stop in Portland, y'all. I'm so excited. My own friends. My sister.
It's your first concert.
It's going to be my first concert in my new city. Like, how insane is that? It's on, I believe, the end of November. So if y'all there, I'll see you there. But also, just check her out in whatever city you're in. You know that we are, aside from our, you know, individual friendships with her, we're also just longtime fans of her work. Mm-hmm. So if y'all she can deserves. Pull up on her, yell in the crowd and you know, zhuzh it up so that she can keep coming back as openers. And then finally for her own act. For our own headlining tour. We're watching it all unfold. So show her some love, and I will definitely be there at the
Congrats,
Portland
India.
Stop. I know.
If you've never
so
checked
excited.
Out India Sean's music, go check it out. Everybody
it's
that
perfect.
Has ever listened to an India Sean song has fallen in love. I promise you.
It's
so
perfect.
Go.
Asante put me on. Mm-hmm. Asante put me on, and I ain't been the same since.
Okay.
I'll never be the same again. I ain't been the same since. Y'all know she got a song called... Y'all know what that song makes me do.
Oh, my God.
Neither do you and I. Every time I just tear up.
Oh,
shout out
I
to
can't
her.
Wait to India. See her. I wonder what her set list is going to be. I'm not even going to ask. I just want to experience it right there in the audience.
I might come stuck, y'all.
I
might have to break
you
it
should.
Out. I'm about to
you
get in on that
up.
And get some of that love on y'all.
I put on some Eddie Bauer and some LL Bean shit.
Right.
And come on out to Portland. You know, you think I want some Columbia. You think I won't put on some Columbia clothes and come on out to Portland? I'd be right there, friend.
You know what's funny?
I'm gonna be right there with some Nike ACG on.
Yes. And then we go for a hike after. Mona, when she was cutting my hair today, she was like, we should give you a modern shag or a mullet to go with your flannels and Birkenstocks. I was like, you know what? I bet you would make it cute.
Low key, I was like, that might be kind of...
Like, I told her I'm gonna come back. I was like, not this week, but you got me. We're gonna play off of a mullet or shag and figure out a way to make that cool and edgy. So stay
two
tuned.
Two of the coolest mullet girls right now.
Rihanna always does a mullet dope to me.
So three. Okay. So Rihanna, my girl Quinn. Okay. Because Quinn be having them cute.
Yes.
Quinn be having them bomb ass mullets.
Mullet, yes. Always.
And Milan, DJ Miss Milan. Did you see that
yes,
red mullet she had the other day?
The
so
red
dope.
One last week that she posted.
They pull off the whole aesthetic. It's like the haircut, the makeup, or not
see,
makeup.
See, and their hair
the
is straight.
Clothes,
so
like,
I'm curious what it would look like with my curls, you know? Like, that's what she was saying. We'd have to play around with the shape of it.
So
but
dope.
I was like, I'm down to experiment, you know?
Something.
Yeah, just something fun. You never know. And if it looks like shit, I mean, it's hair. You can just cut it. It'll grow right back. So we'll see. For
it
now, I'm
look
keeping
like
this.
Shit. You know how hair
look
sometimes
cute.
Looks like really cool when it's like got a, like a certain lived look. So it's like
right?
Even if it'll like there ain't no you ain't going to have no wrong haircut when you decide
and the
to
shag.
Do
let me show y'all for those that are watching because it'll be like a little bit of a treat. This is the shag that she did. Oh, man. Did I delete it? Oh, never mind, y'all.
Probably so. After you see how your hair looked, you was like, fuck it, I don't need no more references. This is it.
Oh, wait, no, listen. I mean, obviously, this lady's hair texture is nothing like mine, but for those of you watching.
It's dope.
You see how it's like that 80s shag? Mm-hmm. It looks a little different
with
her.
Looks like she did like this. Rick James, she had Rick James sew in. I know that's right. Goddamn.
She but
had
don't a, you think it'll look hair. Cute with like my that. Hair texture? It might look cute with my hair texture though.
No, it really it's a cute haircut. I'm talking shit, but it really is a cute
the
haircut.
Shape of
and
it, right?
Actually,
she was saying that's what I was gonna
girl.
Get today, but I chickened out. Truthfully, I chickened out. I was
well,
like, let me just get my
bomb.
Yeah.
There's a girl named Ascala on The Real Housewives of Potomac this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Asante, remember she had her hair like that rocks our hair when they went to Candace's video shoot.
Exactly
her hair texture is a lot like yours,
wait,
friend.
Really?
So that actually would be really... Yeah, I'm going to find a picture.
Please
you.
Do.
You wait. Just wait. Wait right there. I'm going to get with you. Hold on.
I would actually really appreciate that because I want to see what a shag would look like with my texture because that's definitely what I'm going to probably get into next time I come back. But with that being said, ooh,
sorry,
okay.
I'm looking
give
for
us
a Scott's
little beat.
Picture.
Is that her music video? Because I know them housewives be having music videos.
Well, actually, Ascala, what Dustin's referring to is when Ascala was on set of Candace's music video.
See?
So.
Don't I know? No.
This week's Black Business of the Week is brought to you by Target. Target is partnering with HBCUs to support the next generation of Black talent. One of the ways that Target is teaming up with HBCUs is through Target's HBCU Design Challenge, where HBCU students submit designs to be included in Target's Black History Month collection. Winners also receive a cash prize, equipment, mentoring, and networking opportunities. This year's winners are from FAMU, Bowie State, and Hampton. Check back during Black History Month to see the latest winners' designs that will be featured in Target's 2022 Black History Month collection. We love everything that Target is doing with their HBCU initiative. So we are in full support of this here at the Friend Zone, where we have a loving relationship with HBCUs. We toured with HBCUs here before, so we support all of this. You can celebrate your legacy. Invest in the future. Together, we are Black Beyond Measure. Visit Target.com/BlackBeyondMeasure to learn more.
So let's jump into the Black Business of the Week. It's actually our sister Jade of all J's.
Yeah, yes.
She recently did a collab with Zen in a Jar, who we have mentioned before on this show. It's an incredible Black woman-owned company. She makes oils, linen sprays, candles. I mean, you name it, just beautifully home and apothecary-scented products. But she collabed with Jade. Did y'all see how cute it was? The dishwashing soap and hand washing soap for when you're cooking in the kitchen, a la Jade in La Casa, Jade of all Jades. So, genius collab. The products smell amazing. They actually have a box that they're releasing for fall scents that you should definitely check out. I'm actually putting y'all on in advance because it's going to drop next week. but you guys can kind of stock the site up until then because you know it's going to sell out within minutes. But what they do have on the site now that you can grab are some linen sprays, which I'm a fan of. You know, I love a linen and room spray, and it's really woodsy, kind of warmer notes, which is my favorite type scent. So I'm actually going to pull up the website so that we can read what they wrote. It says, cleanse your hands and dishes with the liquid kitchen soap set and refresh the energy in your space with these intentional fragrances as a room and linen spray set. These sprays are ideal, right, for your linens, carpet, car, bedding, bath linens, clothing in your closet, or any room of the home. So here are the scents. Ekene is Nag Champa and Rosemary. Y'all know that
song. I love Nag Champa.
Yes.
So good.
I'll be using that incense.
It is the name of our dish soap because it means gratitude in Igbo. When you have a meal, do you take a moment to reflect on everything that went into that preparation? Come on, Jade. You or a loved one's physical hands preparing that meal, the hands of the migrant workers who picked that produce from Queen Mother Earth who provided it. Jade, come on.
The butcher who shows up to work at 4 a.m.
Come
Jesus.
On. The underpaid workers who had to package that food, the farmers who start before the sun rises. Next time you sit down and enjoy something delicious, take a second when you cleanse your plate to reflect on gratitude. Come on. And then the other,
for the hands.
And then her Uju is the hand soap, and that's the Nag Champa and fig, and it means abundance in Igbo. So she really killed it with the intention she set for these products. You know, I'm a fan.
I love it.
The smell, they smell so good. The design is beautiful. The bottles are beautiful. And then it's created by our sister. So we definitely want to go ahead and support that. Like I said,
love you, Jay.
We love you. The hand soap and dish soap is sold out right now, but they will restock next week with the new scents. But you can grab the room and linen sprays right now. They're available on the site. It's so good, too. So definitely sell that out and keep an eye out for next week when the fall scents drop. And that's it for our Black Business of the Week. Let's jump into the recap segment. Last week's episode titled Walk the Cat. God. My favorite about that part of the convo was how many people were sending me videos of them walking their cats.
Oh, my God, no.
And telling me that I need to get with the program because that's what you do, okay, nowadays. I got to get off that traditional cat. I was going to say housewife cat that just be home. They go
outside
now. I just
don't know about now. I mean, I guess in this, you know, I'm sorry, I can't.
See, this is what I can. You want me to do
please,
it?
Please,
I
don't give a fuck
about no I Peter. Think it's cool. Okay, first, I think cats are too, you know.
It ain't. Here's why. And I, you know, I don't even fuck with cats. I'm the person that they don't have to tell don't fuck with cats because I'm not going to fuck with them, period. But here's the thing. A cat is supposed to be a cat. Quit trying to make a cat do what a dog does. Quit trying to make a cat do what a baby does. You don't need a stroller. You don't need to walk it. It's a fucking cat. It licks his ass and jumps up on the couch and the wall. That's what it does. It's a cat. Let it be a cat. It don't need no leash and harness and jacket and shit. It's a fucking cat.
And little Asante,
boots. You don't have to say. What else you want me to say, Asante?
No, period. You actually hit the nail on the head, especially with the stroller, because the stroller, the pets, I just... Not a fan.
That always
and then you wonder why these cats be mutating and eat, biting, ripping your face up like that chimp did that woman and shit. They fucking you up because they not who they supposed to be. You know what I'm saying?
Unless you have a situation like Haas, right? Haas has a cat. Shout out to Artemis, cutest cat in the world. And Haas has this window because Haas lives in the hills in like a really sweet neighborhood, of course, right, Haas? And she has a window that Artemis comes in and out of, and she can go walk herself, goes hang with her friends, you know, does whatever she does. And then she comes back when she wants. She knows the window's there and it's open. She knows how to get home, obviously, because cats are very intuitive. And she has her food and water waiting for her. And she kind of just has that independent indoor-outdoor streak. You know, she don't have to be walked. So I think that's cool. If I had a situation like that where like the cat can kind of do its own thing, but then I wonder about like fleas. And I know there was one day.
What else coming in that window?
Or what else coming in with the cat in that window? And then I remember Haas's cat got attacked by another neighborhood cat that was astray and it like scratched her eye, you know, just shit like that I don't want to have to worry about. So I don't know. When I get my cat, we'll figure out what the cat's vibe is.
Hodge better teach that cat how to fight. Because Hodge better embody that cat. That's what she needs to do. Okay. Because I know Hodge knows some words to put to string together to communicate to that cat. Listen here, claws out and in.
Not claws out and in. Yeah. So last week's episode,
love you, Hi,
was a shoot the shit. And of course, with the shoot the shit, we talk about whatever wants to come up. So as always, those of you listening had a lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
A few people stood out to me. You know, shout out to everybody in the Patreon streets. You know, y'all are just having a wang dang doodle over there.
That's so fun.
Very quickly, Janelle, she says, OMG Asante, I'm so behind on Big Brother. My husband and I are watching two episodes every few nights to catch up. I had to fast forward to the parts where you were about to tell who's about to win. I caught you saying a black person is about to win. Ah, well, yes, history is made. A black person has definitely won. It was down to 6 black people. So Big Brother is a big deal. Janelle, I hope you are enjoying the catch up when you're catching
up. Shout out to Janelle. That's one of my YouTube peers. Yeah.
Hi, Janelle.
Janelle, I hope you were having a wang dang doodle watching the black people actually argue as well, because that was one of the highlights for me, because I was like, how are y'all going to keep the cookout together and y'all up in here arguing? But they did. It's done. Janelle, have fun. Fran, what did you find out there in them streets?
So on the gated community, Mel Atwell said the treehouse suite that Dustin stayed in sounds amazing. But I have a hilarious story about a friend of mine who stayed in a beautiful treehouse in Tulum. It had a grass roof, and in the middle of the night, a rat chewed its way through the roof and fell in. She says she felt like she was in that episode of Martin. You know the one. That ain't Chilligan's no damn Island. Puppy.
It's Chilligan's Island. Yeah.
The place was really clean and nice, so it wasn't their fault, because nature gonna nature, but I died. Could you imagine?
No. Oh, no. God. No. Me and that rat would have been flying out that treehouse. I'm telling you.
That's the thing, though, about nature. And you both have lived in houses. Like, you grew up in houses, right? Asante, you grew up in a house, and you guys live in a condo.
Period of times. Apartments, like apartment like complexes.
Yeah, because I've never lived in a house. And I was reading a thread on Twitter where this guy was documenting this insane story about them trying to get raccoons out of their attic. And just like the fight and battle that it was to get this raccoon family, it was actually a family, out of their attic and in the walls. Yikes. And I just panicked. I was just like, okay, these are the things. Like, we want to live in nature, and we want to have
trust
houses.
The science, and trust the orchid man, and let them drop a smoke bomb in that motherfucking house to go up through them walls and attic and kill everything in that motherfucker.
So
and then you go back. You got to do what you got to do, friend.
You know me. I would have a cup to the wall like, guys. I don't want to hurt you.
Meanwhile, they got claws
right
out.
Behind you. I'm going to be right behind you with something in a tank with a skull and crossbones on the front of it. Okay. Ready to pump it through them air vents and get the party started. Okay.
I'm choking. Y'all,
so
what the
them
hell?
Damn, so is them goddamn possums and raccoons and shit. You think you choking? Wait till I get a hold to them that tank and them raccoons and shit.
But I'm
going to be this. All this going to be the last thing they hear is going to be this.
That's so mean.
That's it. All 4 legs.
That's so mean. Oh, but you know what? Once y'all read your comments, we'll circle back, because this is going to be another shoot the shit episode. We wanted to make sure to get one out this week, but I didn't have the
it's
bandwidth.
Be a shoot the raccoon episode. Fucking with me.
Transparently speaking, I didn't have the bandwidth, so we decided to just, you know, play it cool this week, shoot the shit. No Dustin with his gun over here. You've had this gun for the past 2 weeks. So, Dustin, what'd you find in the Twitter streets?
Shout out to, a couple things we need to talk about. First of all, Donnie Simpson from Video Soul fame, right?
Whoa,
he tweeted.
Donnie Simpson.
Yes. The original Green Eyed Bandit.
Okay.
Donnie Simpson tweeted, he said, "I've been waiting to say this for 25 years now. Video Soul is back. I can't tell you how many people over the years have suggested that I bring it back. I told them I would, and today it's official. Video Soul is live and free on Tubi right now. So get the Tubi app, T-U-B-I. Donnie Simpson got a whole new show called Video Soul that's back. Now, if you don't know what Video Soul is, I'm going to need your black card on the way out after I tell you what it is. Video Soul is a classic, iconic video countdown television show that lived on BET. It was hosted by Donnie Simpson, and he had other people along the way over the years. Mm-hmm. Donnie Simpson, who was a radio legend in Washington, D.C., then went on to become a television legend associated with BET and other things as well. But when you think Donnie Simpson, you think Video Soul on BET. Ran for many, many years. And I guess 25 years ago, it went off the air. Well, now, goddammit, it's back on.
Wow.
So check out the Tubi app.
That's great news. There,
yeah, it made me happy. I also want to give a shout out to Portia Williams. She quit Real Housewives of Atlanta. So there's a Twitter user named Nick S-A-W-A-B-O-Y who wrote a thread. His tweet says, "Thread of unforgettable Portia moments, R-H-O-A." And it's literally that. Look his account up, find a thread, and get your laugh on and pay homage to a real one.
Everyone's
that
leaving.
That gave a lot to reality TV.
Are y'all sad about it?
On their way out. Yeah, hell yeah, I'm sad. Because it's not going to feel the same without Cynthia and Portia.
Right.
It'll still be a good show to watch, but just it's not going to feel... It's not going to have the familiarity that we look forward to every fall when the show returns.
Right.
It's just going to be a different show. So,
right. Definitely, you know, end of an era.
Tuck and roll. But yeah, for sure. Last tweet I want to highlight goes out to Chris Evans. Chris underscore not capping, N-O-T-C-A-P-N, who said, Ellen Pompeo on doing away with the NAACP awards and HBCUs. Quote, "There was once a time when we needed that, but the separation doesn't get us closer to anything," end quote. And then he accompanied it with a video of her having that conversation on The View some years back. Now, this is of interest because we know last week a report surfaced that Ellen Pompeo just unsolicited, unprovoked. No one asked her.
Jesus.
Nothing. She just decided to open her thin-lipped mouth, okay, and say that she had words with Denzel motherfucking Washington, okay, on set of Grey's Anatomy when he directed the show. And she even went on to detail some of the verbal exchange that they had, her saying, "This is my fucking show," and blah, blah, blah. And they made it through and created a great episode. But she wanted us to know that she had been wildly, flagrantly disrespectful to Denzel Washington. She wanted us to know that.
Where now, did she say this? Where and why?
Was it, I don't remember who she was interviewing with or what outlet it was, forgive me, okay? But she was definitely doing an interview where she was reflecting on, like, moments or whatever that, you know, in her career, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah. And she was saying how she had that moment on set with Denzel Washington. And I guess she thought we was going to laugh it off or, like, oh, that's crazy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or whatever, but... Who the fuck is you talking to? No, we're not laughing now. That's Denzel motherfucking Washington. And you done brought your ass on here. And shout out to my girl, April. April Rain. Rain of April on Twitter. Who said, you know, your little show. She was
not
obviously
your little
talking
show.
To Ellen Pompeo. You know, your little show will end one day. And people, because Ellen Pompeo said, "This is my show." You know, when she was on set. That's one of the things she said, that she came out the side of her ruched neck. Ain't that what they call it? They ruched that fabric, friend. They ruched her ruched neck. She came out the side of her ruched neck talking about that's what the fuck she done said to Denzel Washington. Pauletta's husband. That's what she said to Denzel Washington. I'm over it. I don't know who Ellen Pompeo thinks she is. She done got her motherfucking black,
you know,
husband and some kids.
We're calling
and shit.
This episode.
She can say what she wanna say. She cannot.
Her ruched neck.
Her ruched neck. That's what she came out of. And for those of you who know what ruching is, you got the joke. Okay. She done came out of her old ruched neck talking that shit about Denzel Washington. I couldn't believe that.
Has he responded?
How dare you?
No, hopefully.
Hell no. Good. He too busy shining up
he
all them
busy,
Oscars
busy.
And shit he got. Yeah, being Denzel Washington, which is why we mad in the first fucking place. Because who do you think you are? You know what it is? She done got too comfortable. Y'all been letting her dance and TikTok and do all this other shit.
No,
she done got too fucking comfortable, okay? check yourself or you wreck yourself. But it looks like it's too late for you, Ellen Pompeo, because you and your ass finna pay for this for the next few years. I'm on your ass.
That's the worst. When you tell a story thinking you being cute or funny and that shit backfire like hell. I know she's like, why the fuck did I bring that up? At least
that's what we that's the way we said. Why the fuck would you bring that up? Because we didn't even ask you. And now we looking at you and thinking about you. And these are the thoughts that we have because you're a low-down, dirty motherfucker that been disrespected one of our greats. All these actors passing away, and you're going to disrespect one of the living greats? How dare you open your Pac-Man mouth to say that? Why would you say that? Why?
Is there a new season dropping? Probably one of those promo trails. Yeah, they were like, you know, get the audience
popularity
talking.
Rate dropping. I can tell you that.
I mean, they're in season like 95 or some shit. Right. I told myself I was going to catch up one day because I started the first couple seasons and it's like impossible to catch up. It's worse than Love Island with their 55 episodes.
That's exactly what I'm going to do is catch up with her ass. I can't believe she didn't say that. I can't believe that. Denzel Washington. You know, he's on that list of people that you just don't. There's no reason. He's not problematic. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's no reason to fuck with Denzel Washington. Him and his teeth. You know what I'm saying? He just want to sit back and just be Denzel Washington. So where are you?
Promo trail.
Ellen's are hitting it out the park this year, aren't they?
It's on its 18th season.
Holy
hell. The 18th season is coming, I guess.
And how many episodes per season? Like 20-something? Because they're on TV, so I know. They got the like 20, 30 episode schedules.
Oh, they're 3 episodes into the 18th season. Season 17 had 17 episodes.
Oh, that's surprising.
16, 21. Nah, look, you know, they fluctuate now. Look,
they started cutting down on that budget.
That series order.
16 had 21 episodes. 15 had 25 episodes.
Okay, see, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Damn.
14, 24. So they do get about 25 episodes.
This is exactly why I haven't been able to catch up. That's like impossible.
Well, I knew that show had been on for a long time because when they said that they had brought that dead doctor back, you know, show's been on. Well, you know, show been on for a long time. And they started bringing people back from the dead. The season finale it was all a dream. Like the person wake up like 6 seasons later. You're like, bitch, you died 6 seasons ago.
They told
me, hell no.
Nah.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, that's when I knew. I said, oh, this show been on at least 15.
I faked my death. I went with his protection. It's like, no. We seen the body.
Y'all was so funny.
You need to check out the McDonald's 2 for $6 deal. You can get any of your 2 favorites for only $6, like a Big Mac sandwich, a Filet-O-Fish sandwich, a Quarter Pounder with Cheese sandwich, or a 10-piece Chicken McNuggets. At McDonald's, there's something in their deals for every moment in life, whether it's a cure for a long late night out or to satisfy something that all members of the family on their cross-country road trip may need. Right now, you can get your favorite McDonald's items for a great price. Y'all know, I've said it once, I've said it again, and I'll say it again and again and again. Around 3 p.m., don't look for me because I'm at Mickey D's, okay? I love McDonald's in the afternoon and just that hot freshness, and the deals are bomb. So you can order ahead on the McDonald's app and get 2 of your faves for just $6. Price and participation may vary. Single item at regular price. Limited time offer.
We all know how important it is to work out and be active, but the worst is ending up with sweaty hair and scalp. Sunday to Sunday has products from active Black women to remove the buildup and odor that comes from sweating after a hard workout. Like Sunday to Sunday's Root Refresh, a gentle, no-rinse post-workout cleanse with micellar water and apple cider vinegar. Or their Revive Me Conditioning Mist with argan oil and green tea. These products have active botanical ingredients that improve the health of your scalp so you can sweat and slay. And the best part, it's Black owned. So don't compromise your health for beauty. Get your own workout hair routine today with 15% off your first purchase. Visit mysundaytosunday.com and use code FRIENDZONE. Sunday to Sunday is also available online at Sephora and Ulta.com. I'm in the zone. All right, so let's get off of Grey's Anatomy for a second. So, like I said, I want to bring it back. This is a shoot the shit. We're just going to chill today, but we wanted to make sure and get an episode out. So, being that y'all grew up in houses and know the culture of suburbs and houses and just what do I have to look forward to that's very different? But very different from growing up in buildings and cities and like, let me know now.
Facilities management. That's what you have to look forward to. Assuming the responsibilities of facilities management, i.e., trash removal.
Oh, I did
snow,
see that.
Snow removal. Don't it snow in Portland?
Yeah, it's a little bit, right? Not so much in Portland. That's like the outer parts of Oregon. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, then, like, you know, but like raking leaves, getting all that shit, because you'll definitely want your yard and your landscaping to be orderly.
Yeah.
You have to care about just grounds management, things that living here in buildings, you know, to me, it's a blessing that you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Because I grew up having to perform those tasks.
Right.
Okay, every year. I just told my brother, that was that yesterday or day before, I'm for the rest of my days on this earth, I'm never raking another leaf in my life. That's the one thing that I just refuse to ever do.
Was it that traumatizing?
I hated raking leaves, because remember, you're raking them because they fail, which means the leaves are still falling. So it's the most insulting thing, because as you're sitting there raking them up, and you're getting carpal tunnel all up and through chest pains in your back, you know what I'm saying? As you're doing all of that, the fucking leaf will fall down and just grace you down on your face. You like, bitch. You never wanted to uproot a tree more in your life. So that's just one thing I've just decided. I'm personally nothing against leaf rakers of the world, but
the lifetime ban.
I will never do that again in my life. Never. I hated it that much. But dialing back, I say all that to say just grounds management.
You had to mow the grass too. Did you mow your? Oh boy.
Yeah, you literally are in charge of your entire property. So anything that is wrong, you fix, or anything that is out of place, you change. Like, but this isn't a bad thing. So this just means, like, instead of having to worry about calling somebody to move the snow, you just have to remember, you know, if it does snow, you got to pre-salt the driveway, or, you know, the night before and all that. So it's like you have to take these precautions or steps to avoid having to be annoyed by certain things. But then there are certain things that are just going to come up, because it's like, this isn't a car. Like, so it's not just like changing the transmission. It's your house. So okay, you have to worry about doing those things. But there are professionals you can call to do whatever you can't do. There is a number to call or a website
for
to
everything.
Fix anything. Yeah. So that's just it's just a matter of finding your footing on getting the right types of assistance for whatever you need at your home. It's like here you have to email a landlord or a property person, right, and they're going to send the locksmith to come do your door or whoever to come fix whatever in your house. Out there, you can either, you know, do it yourself because you ain't got to worry about the deposit. Like, you could fix the wall yourself, or you could just call whoever to come do whatever you need to do yourself. And you do your little write-offs at the end of the year. Like, these are things that you can now write off as opposed to whoever is doing it for a bunch of people. So it's like you have more things to worry about, but because it's in your scope, it's easier to manage getting it done. Like, I feel like, you know how before that flood happened in your apartment and yeah, all that shit, you had to wait on their time to get that shit fixed. Like, now it's like you just have to worry about waiting on the damn contractor to get that. Like, who's the person I can get out here quickest? Like, all right, who wants?
Yeah, but the flip side of that is you have to get the motherfucker out there. You know
right,
what I'm saying? So
the responsibility.
Whereas there was one number that you called no matter what problem you
right,
had.
Right.
You have to now source each fucking specific need as, you know, as needed.
Right.
So, which, I mean, you know, you're going
to
do it.
Yeah, I feel like it'll come to you with ease. Like, I feel like you'll, like, notice little things as you're walking around the house and you'll be like, oh, like, maybe I should start thinking about this or that. And you'll probably ahead of time have things done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like.
And I'm still, and the thing too is I'm still renting. I think maybe when you own a house, those types of responsibilities are more overwhelming because there's no like property manager that you can contact to come fix shit.
Oh, well, girl, kick your feet up.
Yeah, because I'm renting for the first couple years because, you know, I never lived in Portland, so I didn't want to buy a house immediately in case I fucking hate it. Yeah. You know, and then I'm stuck there and anchored with this house. But I want to kind of feel it out, scope the landscape. And so the property manager is really nice. But the funny thing is he's like so sweet. Like, we be on the phone and it's very different from New York, where like you're lucky if the landlord even responds to you or answers
you
your call.
Filipino travel agent. He's a beast.
Right. He's a beast. But this guy is like, he texts me and it's just really cool. And he hit me the other day and said that my neighbors were like really excited and like waiting on me. And there's a part of me, it might be the New York kind of paranoid jaded, that was like, oh Lord, they just being nosy, you know, like they want to know who the fuck's moving
in.
They
probably are. They probably are. But still, does it change the genuine nature of their act? But right. They are definitely.
Yeah, nosy. Like I, you know, right. The trust. New York, and there's a lot of New York things that I realize I'm gonna have to shake off. You know, like, like there's a part of me that's anxious of the fact that there's only a door separating me from the street.
From the, yeah.
Like that, it makes me a little freaked out. But then I have to remember the neighborhood I'm in. Like, you know, this ain't where I grew up. Like, it's okay. But then again, y'all listen to true crime, crazy shit be happening. And then they be like, stuff like that never happened here. You be like, okay, wherever humans are, human shit gonna go down. So, but I have to shake off my city kind of like, you know, look over your shoulderness. Not too much, because you still got to be aware, but I got
to
relax.
And friend, you need to be intimidating. I'm just going to say it. This.
Well, that's going to happen anyway.
Saying what needs to be said, right? Friend, you got to intimidate these Portland motherfuckers when you get out there. You can't be letting your neighbors think, you know what I'm saying, that they, you need to be the walking representation of an electric fence around the property, right? Like, bitch, you get too close to me, I'ma zap your motherfucking ass. So I'm be nice, high and by, you know what I'm saying? Real, you know, hey, how are you?
Right.
You know, not too much smiling and shit.
Keep
I know
it
you
cordial,
like to smile.
But a little distant.
You know, friend, ice grill. So ice should, grill they ass.
You should, like, keep being nice to the agent, but then, like, your neighbors treat them completely different. So, like, when they, like, compare notes, they can't get a read. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. They're just mm-hmm. like, this girl just be in and out, minding her business. So y'all
and then,
don't
and then
schmooze.
The agent gonna be like, well,
y'all don't
nice.
Schmooze, like, you know, hey, like bringing each other pies and shit like they used to do in the movies.
Fuck those people. Hell my mom no. never talked to, we never fucked with, like, okay.
Throw your ass off my porch. What the fuck? Remember when K. Michelle cussed that girl out
yeah,
on that porch? That
would have
been me
dancing.
Right there.
When I grew up, we lived in apartment complexes, townhomes, and houses, and more apartment complexes. But the houses, well, really anywhere. My mom did not talk to the neighbors if she did not have to. Like,
really?
I feel like there was at one point, what? I feel like there was a point where, like, we were in a neighborhood where she, like, knew some of the people there, so, like, she had to talk to them. But outside of that, she had to go to work. We were walking to and from the bus stop. We weren't going to no neighbors' houses, none of that. It was just us, our house, like, and family, whatever. So, like, when we were in, like, a regular house, she was like, hell no. Like, whenever we would go check the mailbox, like, she would be like, make sure you don't leave any mail. If anybody looks at you, smile or wave, but don't speak. Like, don't walk towards them. If they start talking to you, just
that's
walk away or just stop
like
the stare.
That.
Like, we had rules because it was just like, this is, you know, this is your property. So people, they might want to be friendly or whatever, but they might want to still try to impose themselves onto your property or with their baggage or with whatever. So it's like, you still got to put up that boundary of, bitch, I'm at home. Like
that's
we may
fair.
Be on the street and we might see each other outside, but like, bitch, I'm at home. Cause you
yeah.
don't want it to feel and like a job every time you go home to talk to your neighbors. Like, hey, like checking with them every damn day. Sometimes you'll say, hey, sometimes
especially
you won't.
Especially when
and
you're
it's
new.
Cool.
And then, you know, I know the HOA, like housing vibes where they're just like all up in your ass about everything, your garbage hey. Bins, your grass length, what decor you have. Like, I already know that that's the vibe. They're going to be very like looking through the blinds type energy. Because that's what I always envisioned of the suburbs and just that type of energy.
I don't think it's going to be that. I don't think it's going to be like extreme. Like
I hope
that. You
not.
You know what I'm saying?
That's like,
I think it's just like anything else. You're going to be your normal self friend. You're going to be friendly with your neighbors mm-hmm. because y'all do have to live next to each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? So not ice cold and standoffish, but, you know, just respectfully establishing certain boundaries. You know what I'm saying? But also still being open and warm, having some sort of sense of community. It's a new thing for you. I guarantee you, you're going to be a new thing for them too.
Oh,
honey.
I already
so,
know.
So I think, you know, I think you can just go into it with an open, positive outlook, you know, be friendly, maybe not exchange a pie, but you know what I'm saying? You can, you know,
at least a hello.
You can be friendly. Yeah. But yeah, be yourself. You'll be fine. You will be fine.
Yeah.
They're going to love you. And I think that you actually will fall into the groove of suburban life. I don't think it's going to be like, motherfuckers in the suburbs got jobs now. Like, it's not like it was back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Where it's just home.
One spouse was home all day. Yeah. And then everybody, it's different now. So I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I do.
I think it's going to be a great change. And once you like really get into it, you're not going to feel any of this. Like I hope and pray you don't have to deal with any of this. Like I hope you'll just get into it. Cause you have sense. Like you're going to know it. You're going to know where to put your trash. You're going to know how you want your stuff to look on the outside so it's not going to bother anybody else's stuff.
The least of their worries and anybody's neighborhood's worries.
If anybody's spying on you, it's not like you out here, you know, bringing a bunch of people over all the time, if at all.
Partying,
like it's, yes. They're just going to be like, oh, the girl moved in. Oh, okay, I never see her. Like at some point, people will probably forget that you've even moved in, but it's been months and I've never seen you or never spoken.
Now that's a major possibility. They're going to be like, did that girl leave? Because we never see her ass. She don't leave the goddamn house.
We talk to our neighbors. Like growing up, I grew up in two houses, right? We grew up in one house and then we moved from there into another house, right? And so in both two different neighborhoods, in both neighborhoods, like my mom and dad talked to our neighbors on both sides and across the street. I remember our neighbor I don't know if she's dead. I don't remember if she died or not, but that don't change the fact that she was a bitch when she was alive to us next door. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, no disrespect, bitch, how? What would she do?
She was just, she would talk shit. Like if me and my brother or me and some of the neighborhood kids, including her fucking grandkids, who it used to really be, were outside throwing balls and shit and some got in our yard or over the fence, she would come outside barking. She would just say stuff about like if a car was parked in front of her, you know, just a bitch.
Right,
she was just a bitch.
Right.
And then, but that's okay because years later, my cousin seen her ass. You know how sometimes older people be getting jobs at Walmart, like as a greeter?
Of course.
My cousin seen her ass stand outside of Walmart smoking on a motherfucking cigarette as a greeter. I'm like, that's what you get, girl.
No, leave her alone.
But smoking cigarettes outside, not where she was working, but just the fact that she was standing outside smoking a cigarette. That's what she get. But I remember her being evil like that. But other than that, like to this day on Facebook, of course, I keep in touch with people I grew up in the house next door to me. You know, people that lived on my street. That shit is real. Mm-hmm. So I think that you'll enjoy being that you haven't had that lived experience yet.
Yeah.
I think that you're really going to enjoy that aspect of neighborhood life as opposed to what you're most familiar with from your time in New York and other places.
Especially if like there's like another, you know, there's like some other people of color in there and they might be randomly in different industries. Like you might find some people and y'all are just like,
they might bring you a sweet potato pie.
Right. You give each other that head nod, like, yo, what's up? Mm-hmm. I'm here too. I got your back.
I love
you look over like this to your neighbor glance. And then he look over like,
right, and it's cool too because a lot of you have been hitting me up, you know, welcoming me and kind of putting me on game on different neighborhoods and just like what's going on, what's cool. And a lot of people that have friends or know somebody that's moving to Portland soon, like y'all have also been connecting me in that way. Because the thing is, the Nike headquarters is there and I think Adidas too and Puma, so like a lot of people have moved to work at those offices. A lot of big city people and, you know, New York City people especially have relocated, so they have that community. Yeah, like they have that community there, and I know it's just a matter of like where everybody is kind of spread out within Portland.
You're gonna tap in.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm looking forward to, is kind of like being that glue in some way. I have a lot of ideas, like business ideas on how I'm gonna do that and kind of tap into what's needed and cater to our community so that we have different hubs. Because I think that's what's missing. Like Portland is fly, but it's lacking that community aspect. Because I know they're there, but it's like, but how do we see each other? Where are
we? I'm going to tell you how we see each other. Because when I come out there to visit, we going to the motherfucking hub. we going to the liquor. We going to the store, quote unquote. We going to the cleaners. We gonna go to the motherfucking. We doing all that. We going to wherever they sell clothes, the sneaker spot. We going to the shit check cashing. You know what I'm saying? We gonna find all the shit.
You know, we should do that.
That's how
actually,
we're gonna tap in.
Honestly, we should film a series when y'all get to Portland where we do like Black in Portland and just find all the Black shit in Portland and film it and turn it into like a little cute series.
That would be so legal to smoke in Portland too. What?
Right?
It's legal to do everything.
What? They were laughing at our Patreon episode where I was saying we're going to turn that into a game. I'm going to be FaceTime like, guess what I'm on today?
You know, speaking of Patreon, this is a great time to plug the binge. We are back this week, this Friday. We have started, instead of the circle, we have decided to keep it trendy.
Dustin done walked down a dark road and changed it to Squid Game.
Dustin actually agreed.
Myself I pour. You see how much of me I pour into this shit?
Because it has to be said, Dustin actually agreed. We are binging the Squid Game.
It was my suggestion. I wanted to listen. Sometimes you have to sacrifice for the art.
You do.
Okay? And that's what I wanted to do here. I said, you know what? Who am I? Can I use the word behest?
Who are me?
I don't know. I just wanted to use one of them words. It would behest. I don't know. But I just felt like it was the best decision. I felt like it was the best decision for the show. So that's where we're going with it. We're doing Squid Games. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually
episode one was funny, though. I'll give it to you. When we did the breakdown of you covering such a dark-ass demonic show is honestly a funny ass combination. I'm with it and we're gonna have fun. So make sure that you subscribe to our Patreon. That's patreon.com, the Friend Zone Podcast, where we do the binge every week. It drops every Friday morning. We just wrapped The White Lotus on HBO Max, which was hilarious too, because you know we find the joke in everything. And then we just started Squid Game, so that will be dropping this Friday actually. So if you haven't signed up yet, you're still in time to catch it in real time. And it's all, we've been having a lot of fun on Patreon. We actually want to thank you guys too for all the support, because it's been we started back in April, and it's just been really, really fun. And actually I want to shout out Getting Grown, because they recently dropped their Patreon link. Shout out to Jade and Kia, who will be dropping bonus content that you can enjoy, some videos. I know Kia has some team typing fast stuff, and Jade has some Jade and La Casa Chef. So it's going to be a nice, well-rounded mix of topics on there that you can kind of
like
get.
That.
Yeah, super, super dope. Just shows the range of everybody involved. Definitely sign up. You can go to their Instagram, instagram.com/gettinggrown. And you can get more information, click on that link, and support our sisters while you are at it.
Shout out to Jade and Kia.
And speaking of the internet, did the outage make you guys sad this week, yesterday? Did you not care? Did you not notice? Were you at home, Mariah Carey wall sliding in the shower?
I was working, and then I was like, fuck it. Me and Dietrich and one of our other friends went to Ocean Prime.
I know that's right.
Because we was working, only we was like, fuck, can't nobody get nothing done. Like, shit, we went to Ocean Prime. We did.
I feel like low-key there's a sector of people bomb. That was so happy. We just had excuses to not do shit. I didn't really notice. It was because I have to shoot a campaign tomorrow, ironically enough, with Facebook and Twitter. And I was having a hard time getting in touch with the executives and everybody. Shit. So I was like, what's going on? You know, normally, like, it's a little bit of a
quick. Wait a minute. I know they ain't ghosting. Like, what's
they ain't ghost me after I done set up the production team, child. So,
they was like, child, we out.
Right. They was like, well, she paid. We can leave now. But no, but everything got sorted. And I realized that it was a really big outage. Like, even the employees couldn't get into their offices. They couldn't check their emails. Damn. Like, it was pretty crazy. Did anyone get to the bottom of what happened?
I didn't. I bet you it was allegedly some of them Trumps.
I didn't, but I saw how severe it was. Like, I didn't realize that, you know, the WhatsApp was connected, and certain people in certain countries use that as like their main source of communication.
Yeah, that's global communication for most of us that have family, like international family. That's how we keep in touch.
Yeah, so that shit was kind of wild when I saw that was happening. But outside of that, I went on Instagram not realizing that there was an outage, and I had left some comments, and I didn't go back to check to see if they posted afterwards. I was like, damn, it's an outage. Oh, well, and I just went on about my day. I went on to my next anime. Like, I just kind of kept it moving because y'all know I just kind of, like, see what's going on when I'm scrolling. But then when I got on Twitter and saw that it was, like, an actual outage, I was like, oh, there's, like, some shit going on. Let me see what y'all doing over here then.
Yeah, the
I was
hackers.
Thankful I didn't have anything scheduled to go live
yesterday. Oh, that would have sucked.
You know what I'm saying? Like a campaign or whatever. And I also was surprised that a lot of people didn't know that Facebook owned Instagram and WhatsApp.
Mm. Right.
I was surprised that a lot of people didn't know that. But they own those. And I remember when Facebook acquired actually both entities.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they acquired Instagram and I remember when they acquired WhatsApp. And so now that they own both of them, that's what you have to look forward to.
Right. Whatever happens to one happens to the other.
Happens to all.
Yeah. Yep. But it was weird though, because even TikTok was suffering yesterday, and even the phone carriers. I saw it was like Verizon, AT&T. I forgot what the other one was. I was like, what is happening? It's funny because everyone on Twitter is always like, the hackers be messing on the wrong sites. What about Sally Mae?
I'm getting me a landline.
A landline.
Real talk.
Really?
For real. Hell yeah, I'm getting me a landline in my apartment.
And then, you got to memorize people's numbers, because you know we don't know nobody's number.
I'm going to write them down, honey.
You have a little...
I'm not even going to put them on... I'm going to write them physically, write the numbers down.
Remember the phone number books my mom had?
Phone books with the tabs.
What kind of landline are you going
to get? Oh, the Rolodex. Remember the Rolodex, the one that rolls?
Oh. Yes, I forgot Rolodexes. Put you in my Rolodex. Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna get like a fancy rotary phone? Or are you gonna get like just a little wireless receiver, little handset?
Some whatever can be hard line, hard wired, down wired, hard line. Some that just
and now I'm on the hard
vulnerable
line.
To shit. Yeah,
you gotta get that phone.
Did y'all see Pretty Ricky performed?
The trim line phone.
No, everyone had that one. Everyone had the trim line. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious that you're saying that. But I mean, when we were younger, that clear phone where you could see all the wires.
Oh yeah, like the Swatch phones. Yes.
I thought
I'm gonna get? I'm gonna get them lips. Remember them lips?
Oh my god,
the lips phone.
That's how you know smooches. We old.
I'm gonna get the lips, but I'm gonna have somebody. Can somebody make me a lips phone, but that show a little teeth and have the teeth be gold? I want somebody to make me a lips phone
really
to show
cute.
Teeth and gold
that's,
teeth.
That's
yeah,
super
I like
cute.
That.
When I was putting
I'm
my,
me a, I'm giving me a landline.
I was putting my Wi-Fi in my new place, and the guy asked to. He was like, "Let me know if you need to add a landline." I thought about it for like 2 seconds. I was like,
"Friend, we need to get landlines."
So you could lay in bed with your finger curling on the cord and talking all day for hours. Oh, that would be cute.
You know,
but you know you would never use it, Dustin. No, you did.
What?
But you know you would literally never use your landline.
I'd have used it yesterday if my other shit went down.
Low key, people would literally just come to your house to Instagram with your landline. Just because I feel like people are so young now, they're like, a landline? Like, what do you, like, you can make actual phone calls? Like, I feel like people would be floored, like, they do it all the time in offices. Why is it so weird?
He gotta get the rotary one with the finger.
Put that bitch in, like, some sort of trophy case or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, so when you use it, you know you're using it. Like, wow, the landline.
How weird is it going to be when it rings, the first time it rings in your whole house, you look around like, oh, shit, this loud-ass phone, right? This loud.
Yo, I'd be pissed.
I'd be pissed if it's spam calling my damn home phone. I'd be thinking about the old episodes of Chappelle's Show. I'd be like, I don't like people playing on my phone.
Playing on my phone.
Did y'all see that TikTok? I think it was a TikTok that went viral where they were asking people if they have to make a phone call, how do they put their hands? And all the young kids were going like this because everyone does cell phones. And then our old asses were going like this. I never thought of that. That's really crazy. And we tested it on Noah and she went
now?
Like this.
Yeah,
like a cell phone, you know.
They well, go
like
I mean, it does make sense. I'm just so mad. I'm like, damn, I need to get the grip right because
never think to do that.
I was like, first of all, we got AirPods in, so we ain't holding shit up.
Like, you just see how so Noah looked at us. Different. We were like, Noah, if you have to make a phone call, how do you pick up the phone? She was like, she looked like, what the fuck is y'all asking, weirdos.
Oh my god, imagine trying to play charades. They're gonna look at you like, what are you doing? It's this is a phone. It's a phone.
Our old asses. No, but I didn't really get affected by yesterday as much. Like I said, I barely noticed because I've been in the thick of this crazy ass week. But it was crazy too. It makes you think though, like the internet could really fucking shut down and we have all our shit online, all our work, you know, like.
That's why you got to keep a gun and a hunting knife and a landline. I'm telling you, you got to keep that kind of shit. You got to have, you got to be prepared in this motherfucker. License your shit. Get it the right way.
Right.
But, you know, get you a gun of some sort, a knife, a baseball bat, and a landline. That's what we need.
Do y'all ever think, though?
I'm telling you. What? Because I was finna go off. So go ahead, finger. Friend. Go ahead. I was finna take off.
No, I was going to ask, ahead, do you ever get concerned about the fact that your livelihood is at the mercy of these social media sites, really? A lot of your livelihood, I should say.
So there's like two things I want to touch on with that, right? Because you've hit something very like key for me that I've been thinking about on like a different, I guess, not as
what,
all the
gun
way.
Part?
No. Just as far as the digital part goes, online, you know, we have like the cloud storage and all that, which is, you know, efficient to a degree because you can leave all your shit. Like whenever you get the new iPhone, the shit will just automatically put all your shit right back on there
if you
got the cloud storage.
It can go corrupt. I mean.
So anything can get hacked or corrupt and all that, right? Because I'm not getting all the way to the offline part. What I was going to say is I've been looking into network attached storage just because I do have this weird fear of like my iCloud getting hacked. So I was thinking like to myself, well, at least if I could store my shit, I could store it all like locally, but it would still be on a network I would have to worry about the security for. So that's like part because it's not all the way to what you're getting at. But that's like
something
random.
Tell me that as if I were 5 years old. What does that mean?
So instead of cloud storage, instead of storing all of my information online as like my pictures, my files, because literally as technology has advanced and companies going to make money, you can now store all of your stuff online through the damn iCloud or Google Drive and stuff like that.
Right.
So instead of storing all of my stuff online, which is where most of my stuff has lived for a long time, I've been trying to do like a digital cleanup of like all of my files, all of my music files, because you
and
know
put when, it where?
Put it on. So instead of having, because I have like 3 external hard drives right now, and they're like probably a total of 4 terabytes. Instead of having these random external hard drives, I'm looking to get a big external. And it's called a big storage device. And so basically I would attach this storage device to like my router and it's my network attached storage device. So that instead of storing it online, I could use online to store it onto this device. But depending on...
Oh, so this is hardware. This is something...
Yeah, so this is hardware.
Oh, okay. That's so, where I got lost because I thought you were saying a different type of online network.
That's
so I'm like,
thing.
Well, how would that help if they're all...
So I'm glad that you asked, friend. Right. I need it. You know, I do miss a lot of steps sometimes, so thank you for asking.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So I've been considering, like, I want to keep all of my, like, digital life on this type of hardware. So if, you know, in case one day the internet does leave, I do still have this stuff. But I guess to another part of your question, like, what if the digital ain't coming back? Like, you know, I might have it all on this drive. Who gives a fuck about any of that anyway? I have been reading and looking at these weird concepts about people like offliners that are like practicing for the day. Like when I wish I had any of this right now. They're like practicing.
I was finna just keep listening for context clues. But what is an offliner?
These are people that are like practicing for the day. Like the shit all crashes. They're like waiting for Y2K part 2.
People that live without being dependent on any like
shit. Honestly, we need to do that because all of our shit is online.
You're right. I feel like yesterday, especially now that I'm thinking about this, yesterday was a great test to see how prepared you are, you know, within yourself, with your damn family, with, you know, whatever you feel like you need to do. Because I watch a lot of, like, espionage movies, too. So I'm obsessed with, like, having, like, a go bag with, like, passports and cash in it. So there are just so many things I'm thinking, like, damn, what am I going to do? Like, I've always wondered, like, if the internet crashed, like, how would I make money or barter or survive? And I feel like people are so into...
I'm selling dick.
I was just about to say people are so into the NFTs.
Combo that with whatever you just put in your mouth. Just really
the way, and the way they... Friend, I wish you could run the Zoom back right now.
Right.
The way he just tried.
You are so funny. Yeah, no, it's a lot to consider because, you know, all my... Like, okay... So I had an iPod, right? Remember the old school one that was black with a circle in the middle, everything? I kept transferring, which is what most of us do. When you upgrade to the new year, you just transfer from the old one to the new one, and you kept doing that. And by the time I got to that iPod, I had maybe 10,000 songs. just from over the years. And yes. And it was not just songs that I had bought. And it was also, which I feel like I demos. Mentioned on the show, demos, Claude songs, all of my friends' stuff, my stuff. Stuff that I had found randomly, things that you randomly download when you, you know, we used to discover songs on random sites and you just download it. And one day that shit did not turn on. And I have brick. Never felt so sick.
All black brick.
And to iPod this day, brick. To this day, I lost all of that shit. 10,000
and
files.
Can't even remember what songs were on there. That's the
and
crazy
you can't
part.
Even remember because who the fuck remembers 10,000 files? You know, I was able to get a new one and kind of refill it up with some of the stuff I remembered, some of the like hard CDs, finds, yeah, that I burned back. But the gems that you can't even remember are fine. Like that shit really fucked me up. And I'm one of those people. I have to admit. I'm not the greatest at backing shit up. Like, do y'all have your laptop backed up and like all those yeah. with hot external?
Every night.
See, I'm every, bad at that. You know,
I listen to Juvie and back that ass up.
You know what it is,
friend? My phone is backed up. My phone is backed up, but only because they've made it easy to do that. Where, yeah, you put it on your phone. As soon as you charge it to your laptop, the shit is backed up for the day. So that's really the only reason that I stay on top of that. But I have had maybe two or three laptops die on me in the past like 10, maybe 15 years, and everything is yeah. lost. All
honestly,
those contracts,
that,
documents, pictures.
That
I
stuff
mean, you
is
name
very
it.
Traumatic and charging. Like when Man. I, back when I worked at the Apple store, I actually had witnessed one girl that we used to work there. She used to have funerals for iPods, and people thought she was crazy for it. But like, honestly, look, honestly, when you're thinking about like the music and like, you know, that's when emo was real big back then. So people are like losing their like with the last little bit of hope that they have in technology or they or whatever. So to watch her do that, I was like, damn, this is some shit. But for me, I just always think to myself about when I was younger, we had to move because we talk about moving. We had to move around a lot for whatever reason, adult shit, whatever. Mm-hmm. Some of those times we had to get rid of a bunch of shit. So albums gone, like memories gone. So as I've gotten older, I'm like a digital hoarder. Like I just keep all of these files yeah. like for a note. Like I make sure that I meticulously sometimes go through and delete like applications I don't use and shit like that. But when it's like photos, like I have photos that I have like I've only looked at once, but I've taken pictures on 10 different types of iPhones, and I've kept every photo like stored on some external somewhere. I have music on an external somewhere that I've kept because after I've gone through a Zune and two iPods dying, I'm like, oh, hell no. Nah.
Hell no. Nah, this nigga said Zune. I forgot about
Zune. Yeah, I had a Zune, and oh my God, that screen on that Zune, it was actually very, very clutch. But it was just really terrifying knowing that at any point in time that you could lose your digital life. But then even growing up, and we had cheaper computers. So the E-machine would just break down, like bust down. So like from losing files, like from, you know, being in school and losing papers in the middle of it and be like, damn, oh, I can't believe this whole God. Paper just erased. So like music that you've worked PTSD. Hard on creating or that you demo it to losing that. Like these are moments that they really do hurt and people have to kind of just get over or move over. But like for me, I've become a bit of a digital hoarder. So I don't know how I can deal with losing that type of stuff now because I'm so meticulous about trying to push it away. Like my computer, whenever I'm down, like, or I'm like, I know I'm about to be out by 15, 20 gigs. I'm like, let me just start backing shit up because you're not going to just break down
you're
on me
so
or get slow.
Good. So you just have a bunch of external hard drives in your house.
Yeah. And I need to marry them to that big ass. Well, they be so cheap. So sometimes, you know, you just pick one up, $30, $50, and it's like, oh, okay, cool.
I
can store
do that.
A bunch of
and
stuff
on there. And my iMac is kind of on its way out. Like, it's on its last leg. You know when the little rainbow ball, the balloon.
Be turn a little
starts,
bit longer.
The little pinwheel.
Well, look, when you got to start praying for it, but all right, you just turn back right. to the mouse. I promise, I'll just, you know, let you cool down.
Right, you know when your pictures don't even come up anymore, it's just a white page.
Like, a little question mark if you're lucky.
You know, so I'm like, I already know I kind of have to replace that soon. And I need yes. to get everything that's in that brain off of it before off. It fucking dies, which is like any day now. But you would think
how,
as many things as I've had die.
Storage.
On the iMac, I couldn't tell you. I honestly don't even know.
You know they make they make externals that are like a terabyte, two terabytes.
Yeah, that I've seen because they have seen it at the Apple store. It's just I'm bad, you know, like I'm bad with remembering. It's one of those things that you know you have to do, but you just never fucking do. But I need to because I don't want that to happen to me again. Like I said, I've lost 3 laptops worth of shit. And
what color iMac are you going to get?
I know. I think I like the orange. I've just been, look at my nails. I've just been in a real orange. Yeah. Like all things orange for me lately. I don't know what I'm going through.
When you get your new iMac, friend, I need. Hopefully, I'll have my digital life together by then. I'm going to try to find a network attached storage device solution for you. So when you at home, you can have your stuff backed up and you won't even have to put all of your old stuff onto this computer. You could just access it from that. Now, as far as getting security for your network, like, you know, you might need to speak to Verizon or whomever your ISP is going to be just to make sure you do have the proper firewalls and stuff set up. But I'm going to look into that because we need to
speak to the Nation of Islam about security. I'm just going to tell you. Get you some of them Nation of Islam brothers to secure your
shit. What they going to do, Dustin? Stand by my computer?
I don't know. They're going to stand up there in them suits. And gazelle sunglasses.
No, but it really made you think. And even like, you know, the access that we have and that our supporters have to us. And if you cut the internet out, where is that access anymore? Because have y'all been good with like creating emails, like email systems where you could, you know, gathering the emails of your supporters in case these sites do go down, there's still a way that you can kind of let them know what's going on. Like, exactly. That's the thing.
We got to think ahead of these things,
you know?
You know, you're right.
Having our own websites, like I had one, but it wasn't really a website. It was more so, shout out to Chris Did It. She just made my Tumblr, which at the time was like where I was based out of mainly. Like I was always on Tumblr when I first started, and she just made it look better than like the typical Tumblr page. So I never really made like a website. And things like this kind of make me realize like we need to have our own hubs, you know, and then through that website, they can put in their emails. And then through that website, if any other site shuts down, people know where to find us if they need to find any information. But then again, it's like, but that shit was shut down too, I'm guessing, if there was just like worldwide,
you know, you bring up
outage.
Some very valid points because I think back to like when Cheska Lee, shout out to her, the GOAT, like, Cheska, you know,
boo.
She was like, you know, make sure you just get people's emails. Make sure you just on your website, just have them come type in their emails. You can always talk to them. They can always hit you up. You can always find them. Like email system. Like that was like one of her like 101s.
Oh wait, she's been on my neck about that for at least the past decade.
But you know what it is, and I guess it's it's a good thing we're having this conversation. A lot of people, when certain websites, they just get our real estate, it's hard to move that. Like, even with you and Tumblr. Tumblr was popping back
years
then.
Years of work,
And then Tumblr says to you, like, oh, yeah, and you can just go ahead and add your own www, so you could just stay here. Why get an actual website? So that's why you ended up on Tumblr. Mm-hmm. Like, Twitter is for
everybody. But it's still their property. It's still on their
still their
shit.
Property.
So if they
Twitter
shut down,
didn't even have
you
to
shut
do that.
Down.
Twitter didn't even have to do that because people didn't care about the .com. They just got, localized ads and hashtags. So like if you just had your ad, you didn't even worry about having it like, you know, you could just go to this and it's my Twitter.com. Like Twitter don't even got to sell you on that dream. But it's like all about how we try to get our real estate back. Like I feel like it would be so dope if, you know, black people came up with our own apps or like just random celebrities were like, you know, oh, this is my app. Like how Ryan Leslie was doing like the Superphone. Like these ways that were just like, instead of going on this website, Instagram to find me here and then hitting this hashtag to find all my stuff, you can now just download my website and you'll have all my information if you ever need me or if anything ever changes. So it's like those are ways that I do want to see like us kind of expand, but I don't know how that would help if, you know, all the shit were to go down.
Right.
So it's
the
like
internet as
there.
A whole. Because remember Black Planet? Do y'all remember it? We thought that they were like going to come back around. They were telling people to sign up again. There had been some talk about Solange being involved somehow. And I remember thinking, okay, this could be like a for us by us situation with our data and all that. But I don't know what happened. It didn't seem to
pan out. Nothing ever came from it. Nigga shit.
Yes.
Probably.
But it does make you think, like, even my pictures, like, when my phone bricked this last time, I knew I had it backed up on the cloud, but there was something that went corrupt with my cloud. And which fucked me up because we depend on this transfer of files through this cloud to kind of hold us down through every phone, regardless of if it bricks or whatever. And I lost a lot of contacts. Remember, I told you it didn't affect my pictures, but there are a lot of people that I just don't even know that I don't have their number. And I don't know until I go to hit them.
Right.
And I'm like, fuck, it never updated this person's contact. Then I got to go online and DM them and tell them, you know, my bad, blah, blah, blah.
It's so fucking frustrating.
It's crazy.
Like,
and it's so many numbers I lost. And then I started thinking, even we were younger. Remember, we have photo albums. Mm-hmm. With our pictures growing up, and like, I don't have none of that. Even thinking like I wanted to print some out and buy some frames and have like a friend wall, because I want to have pictures of all of you guys in my office, like a wall with everyone's picture, just so I can kind of feel.
I'm gonna send you the one I want.
Doesn't sound like Beyonce. He said, thank you. No, but I think that'll help me stay grounded, you know, to just have like a friend wall in my office. So that's like a project I want to work on. But it also made me realize we don't have pictures. Like, literally, we don't have no pictures. Everything's on the phone.
We should have been doing... And you know what? I was about to say we should have been doing like a holiday card every year or something, so we could just have like albums
so
on deck.
Cute.
Not that you
card.
Would, but it's like you can't even. There's like no. You don't get any money back. You can't sue anybody. Like there's literally nothing you can do when something
lost.
Like that happens.
Your shit fucks up.
There's no sort of insurance for it. You've literally been signed away and signed off on everything when you clicked agree with Apple. Because ain't nobody ever came to them and said, y'all done fucked up my whole business. Like I'm gonna need some. Apple be like, you have agreed. User terms, you've
fault.
Agreed. Like
yes, they have. Yes, they have. That's why the logo got that little dent on the side of it. Somebody did get to that motherfucking head. And they got that chunk.
Now somebody was just
hey, it just ain't happened again, but it definitely happened one time.
So if you were to wake up tomorrow, similar to what happened, but what if like Facebook, none of these sites would have been restored, and then Twitter would have been next, and then our websites, and then just the internet as a whole. What's your next move the next day? What's the first thing you would do?
You said, what about the internet as a whole?
It's just gone.
It's gone.
Like you go to your phone and like it's just nothing there. Everything you've ever created, worked on, all your contacts, just that's it. There's no connection to that world, that reality anymore.
I could still sell weed, so I got a couple things that I could do. There's a few things that I have in my repertoire. I know I could like for real lean back on. But if I just wanted to go all out and say, fuck it, it's a new life. I might become like a street performer or some shit. I don't know, just because.
Showtime.
I know what I would do. Okay. I would immediately get to work on creating a new information network, like some sort of like physical something. I would just start figuring out a new way to get shit done, because that would be it. I wouldn't.
How will you reach people?
I would figure it out on the ground. Pony Express this motherfucker. I take it back to the Brit, like for real, like. Start a hell of a mean game of telephone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get a message around this world one good time. Let motherfuckers know.
Because all the degrees of separation, like, somebody knows somebody who knows somebody. You be like, yo, get me certain's number.
Yeah, and I keep it moving. I would get started on that, figuring out whatever the next thing looked like to satisfy that need. Because we would have to have something. We would have to have some way to engage in like mass communication like that in the moment. We would have to. So I'll just figure it out.
And financially, would you be okay financially for like a month or two while you figure out your next move?
Hell yeah.
Cause that's another thing too.
Let me fall.
Friend, I told you I got my espionage go bag. There is
that's
a
what
stack
I'm saying. Like, aren't we set up for these realities?
I could tell you one name right now that I will call and be like, and I'd be make sure I have what I needed. We have what we all needed, okay? That's it. Shit.
I'll go back to whipping up shea butters and go to the farmer's market.
Thumb. Yeah. You got a green thumb, friend. You could literally just
she got a green thumb and I got a I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm gonna get to the money. I was getting to the money. That's where I'm gonna be if this shit go down. I told you earlier how I planned on staying afloat. Okay. Please.
Oh man.
Commodify.
The good thing about things like this happening is it does kind of make you audit, you know, audit like how set up you are. And I know we always look at the conspiracy theories and the people who be in bunkers and, like you said, the offliners, and but they have, you know, there's something to it. It's like, are you prepared for doomsday and whatever?
They've been talking that shit for 21 years. Don't you remember Y2K? Still in them bunkers. They was buying batteries and water and shit for Y2K.
That was so funny. We were really fucking scared. We thought our banks were going to shut down, our ATM cards.
Look, that was so funny because then, I'm not going to lie, I was a little fucked up. I was like, what the hell is about to happen? Because I remember our neighbors talking about, we armed, like, everybody ready? I'm
like, in case it turns into like, what's that movie? No, that movie where the purge.
The purge.
Where the lights are out and everybody just wilding the fuck out on the streets. I remember too the countdown. Remember we were counting down.
They thought everything was gonna go black.
Everybody was so scared.
So dumb. Oh, them same motherfuckers back. Now saying they doing their research.
I was reading an article, I think it was on GQ. About these people who, like, in the 60s, they just did not fuck with this world no more. They didn't fuck with the Matrix, you know how we call it. And they just wanted out.
That's
they
real.
Wanted off the grid. They didn't want to be at the mercy of any of this shit. You know, times were changing really fast, the internet, blah, blah, blah. And one of them was a pilot, and he flew around and found some land somewhere that, you know, was... I guess they didn't need permits or anything. It was a type of no man's land that nobody,
CBOA.
I'm sure somebody owned it, but they kind of got away with it because it was like in the middle of nowhere. And he flew everyone there, you know, coming back bit by bit, and they created their own community and people really lived there off the grid for like 50 years. And they finally got access to one of the members who's older now. He's like in his 70s, 80s. And he was telling the real. He was like, this shit is hard. You know, people idealize the whole off the grid, I'm done with the Matrix, gonna grow our own food and find a fresh water stream and build our own houses, start our own communities. But he said it was hard. Like,
where he living now?
He's still there.
Who helping him?
It's still a couple of people that survived from that, like from that same era of people that left. They just still there. But he said it's hard because, you know, their houses are all dilapidated. Like, it's like run down because they didn't have permits. They didn't have people that really came and like built the house. They just took random pieces of wood and created what they could, you know, a lot of foraging. So their diets were kind of like up and down. It's just it was like a testament too to a lot of us idealize that and don't realize how actually fucking hard it is. Look at Dustin, I already see your face.
Because I'm gonna tell you something, you can't be fucking around playing. They playing and wasting time. If you're gonna make a move like that, of think about what you're doing right now, friend.
Right.
A cross country move. You done dotted every I, crossed every T, and closed and bolted the door. Okay. you are checking and balancing your way through this move.
Right.
Y'all motherfuckers gonna literally start a new society. Okay. And you ain't even thought to put a concrete foundation down on the goddamn house.
Because remember when we watched Osho's documentary, Wild Wild Country? He had his shit down pat, okay? Down. He had an airport, a runway, their own supermarket skit. Like, because
getaway
he
tunnels.
Had people that this was their craft. These were their trades.
You got to think about
exactly.
That shit.
Exactly. He like, brought in y'all? People. So it wasn't them just being like, how do we build a house? It was like they had actual builders and contractors
and
architects.
That's why
yeah.
Some like that nigga
of
made
the components to society as we know it are good things. That's why. Because you need to have rules to the way certain things are done and standards. That those are in place for a reason to keep your ass safe.
Right.
And have sustenance and covering, dumbass.
That's what he said. He said they were scared for years to really let anyone in, especially like media, because they knew that they would see this shit. Like how fucked up shit really was and how dangerous and how not ideal.
And you never thought to go back.
No, they didn't want to. They preferred that than going back to this matrix and being a part of this hamster wheel. And that was, it was interesting. It was eye-opening because I've had this convo with a couple of my friends. You know, we always be like, I'm going to be off the grid. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like, but are you really? Like, do you really think you're equipped to do that? Do you have skills to survive?
You can't even pass
untethered.
I ain't gonna say die. You can't even pass in a rocking chair because the chair ain't even up to code. You being in the ass of you on your way out of here and your ass is gonna hit the concrete floor. I guess the floor ain't even concrete at that point. It's probably just dirt. What are they? I can't even imagine.
I gotta send y'all the article. I'm gonna post it, by the way, for those of you listening. I'm gonna have it in the information box.
Okay, I ain't even gonna hold you. I need me a hospital and some motherfucking, you know, some city services.
That too. I wondered that too. Like when they got sick or injured from these houses, like what was there a doctor there? I do wonder. I wish they had gotten into those things a little bit more.
They could go off the grid.
He's the only one left.
They can go off the grid. The problem is they needed.
There must not have been too many medical professionals.
He's not the only one left. They still got a couple people left. He said it too. He was like, a lot of motherfuckers left after the first year. They was like, oh, hell. This was fun.
My bad friend, you can stay in this shit if you want to. I'm going to get McDonald's. Fuck this.
They said,
I miss McDonald's. I miss the credit union. I miss shopping malls and movie theaters.
For a lot of people, it sounds good in theory, you know? Like in theory, yeah, we'd love to live untethered to these everyday conveniences, but when you really doing it, how long you think you could last without ordering some shit on Amazon? You know, can you make
if I be
fire?
Out of town too long, I'll be like, I need to go home and sleep in my bed. Love y'all, but I ain't going to the compound.
You can it can definitely be done. I feel like it just needs proper capital behind it.
Like Osho, like he did it. You need to really prepper. You really need to prepare this. You need to have different people.
That's how they say it in y'all community. You don't say prepare nowhere. Y'all left that behind in the matrix. It's prepper.
You need to have people who can have the different trades that can handle the different sectors of what a neighborhood and society would look like. Like you can't just all wing it. This is serious shit. But Osho did it. Say what you want about Osho, but he did that shit. That's why they wanted him out.
And just like Osho, if I'm going off grid, there needs to be some sort of like architectural designer included in this package. Cause like
so everything's
their shit,
up to code.
I'm telling you, the facilities.
Have your ass on Survivor.
The nigga had getaway tunnels. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not just no regular. Like there was like elaborate like labyrinths and shit under that compound. I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, so to go from that to we just in the woods playing house, but ain't nobody chopping lumber and shit. That's my idea of off the grid.
Nah, ain't nobody chopping lumber.
That feels like a new level of Lord of the Flies. And I'm not trying to be piggy and get killed with the rock or whatever. Like, I don't want to do none of that.
Let me tell you something. I was out in Joshua Tree,
California. Ooh, my favorite.
And it was an incredible experience. Like,
beautiful.
Like, incredible. But let me tell you, 2 days of that shit, it's time to get back to L.A. You understand what I'm saying? So I already know that that's just not for me.
Right.
You know, I just think that people know their strengths, their weaknesses. You know it works for you or don't.
Mm-hmm.
I am a modern man. A modern black man.
I mean, it's real. I think it's important
to
know.
There's some conveniences of modern life that I need, and unabashedly as well.
If we were on the compound, what do you think you would offer the community?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Good looks, charm, wit. I'm a great cook as well. I don't mind getting my hands dirty.
Okay.
I know how to do like carpentry work. My father taught me that.
Stop
HVAC.
It. Are you
my father,
serious?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. My daddy taught me that. He taught me HVAC work, heating and cooling. All
get
that
out
kind
of here,
shit.
Dustin.
I know how to do all that.
Oh, we
I know
need
how to
you.
Do. I can frame. I can frame a whole house. I can build a deck in the backyard. I can build a barn. I can do anything.
Dustin's like an old school man. Where they at? Where they at?
Know what to do. No, I know my way around that toolbox. I know my way around that garage.
That's so fly. Honestly, I love people like that. That's what I love about Maya. Yeah. Because she is so good with that. Like, she literally can build anything. It'll be something she never even knew how to build, and somehow she manages to figure it out and then does it right and well. Like,
I love that.
She needed to lift the ceilings in her tiny house, and she was like, oh, yeah, I found, you know, exactly how to do it. I was like, Maya, you're going to do this yourself? But she's really that person that... It's not surprising. DIY. Yeah, like, it's not surprising to me that she would want to do it herself and would actually execute it and do it well. Like, some people just, that's their world. I think that's so
Anytime
dope.
Anytime I have to do anything, like paint, I remember one day I just was like, I'm about to paint this room in the crib. And I went to Home Depot, got the shit, got the ladder.
I remember.
Something simple. And that's simple shit, but I remember people responding to that as if it was like a big deal.
It is.
And in my head, I'm just like, fuck, I just taped this shit off and painted it, like, whatever. But I remember tripping, like, people really were surprised, you know what I'm saying, that I was able to do that shit. But stuff like that to me is just, it's just a project, just like any other project that we take on.
Yeah, you know, but the saying? Average
plus,
person
my father
really don't
taught
know
me how to use that.
That's
shit.
Dope, honestly. Yeah. Shout out to your dad for instilling those skills in you. I feel like that's what most parents should do. I know most parents are probably tired and don't really have the capacity half the time, but that would have been dope to just grow up learning all that, right? So crazy.
Had some trades.
You know, have some trades. What about you, Asante? What do you think you would contribute to the compound? You'd be playing music. You'd be the DJ.
I was going to say, you know, some sound healing, some... Oh, and you know
what? We ain't got no damn electricity.
Shout out to Asia real quick. I said on the internet that I want some sound bowls, and Asia sent me some sound bowls.
Oh, that's so dope.
That's dope.
Hell, how have you been liking them?
I get up in the morning, and now with my blunt, I feel my sound bowls and I play them before
early morning sound bath, right?
Before I bump my Sonos. Okay, living a full life over here. But yeah, the sound bowls, the sound healing, that's real. Like, it's something real tranquil about it and centering, and it's nice. Like, I didn't realize how nice it was going to be until I got them bowls. Because I was just talking shit. I was like, I want to Jhené Aiko my space a little bit. Get some vibes in here. But after actually doing it, it's really a vibe.
It really is. And they play different notes that affect, like, different parts of you. Like, I have two different ones.
You play sound bowls on the compound is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm going to
be doing sound healing.
Mr. Music
Provide
Man, literally.
Safe spaces for all... Look, provide safe spaces for all the people that are probably sick of the compound or feel like they need to go. Be like, remember your purpose. Now here, take this. I want you to hold this bowl just like this here. I want you to just give it a ring around the rosy there. Yeah, just...
I want to be...
I'm so frustrated. I take the bowl. Well, maybe we can use the bowl to stop the fucking leak in the roof. When it rains every day. I hate it here.
And when the bowl is half full, play it for a different resonance. You can play the sound bowls with water in them. I was like, oh, this is dope. This is class A. So yes.
See, I want to be the neighborhood medicine woman. You know, like
when Come on, Dr.
Quinn.
When
I was in Jamaica, they I forgot, it was someone on our retreat wasn't feeling too great, like one of the other members of my team. And they were like, oh, you know, we'll send you to this medicine woman. We went to go see her. We had to walk through, like, these roads. And then she was living in, like, really out of the way. And she was doing all this work on us in her hut. Like, it was just so fly. She had on all this, like, turquoise jewelry and these long locks. And she was so beautiful with these beautiful teeth and her skin. She's exactly what you would think of. And I remember thinking just like how knowledgeable, you know, and that wisdom that she got passed on from her family. She was like, I don't be reading none of them books and all the bullshit, y'all be on. She was like, this is ancestral shit, you know, and it was just so fly. Now I remember thinking.
And so Fran, the shit worked, y'all felt
yeah,
better.
She really did. And she was able to kind of do a scan of all of us because we went for our friend, but really we were like, shit, we here, you know. She did a scan.
Went in wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. She did a scan and kind of let us know different parts of our body that we could support and nourish and kind of look into a little more. And she really helped us out so much. And all the things she mentioned and suggested that I went ahead and tried. All worked in every way. And I just felt like, man, that's so fly to be that person for your neighborhood. You know, like the years of work she's put into knowing what she knows and like really executing all those things and people listening to her and trusting her and just the way they're like, oh yeah, go up the road to so-and-so. I was like, that's who I want to be. So I'd have to like really put in those
friend,
years.
What was her copay, friend? Or do she not, you know?
Hell no, her copay. She's like, what's your insurance card?
Okay, yeah. I know she had a copay, you know.
But, you know, like all that to say, the GQ article was really eye-opening because I am one of those people that's always like, I want to live off the grid, da, 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 da. But it's like, you really got to get to a point where you're like, are you equipped, you know? Right. And even in our day-to-day lives with the digital work that we do, I think things like yesterday, usually those sites go down, they're back up and running in like an hour, but that shit was all day and people were really freaking the fuck out. And then it did start this larger conversation of, are you equipped for when the internet goes down and the day that it might not come back up? And I realized that I absolutely am not.
Like, I ain't ready.
Right? All our shit is
no
online.
No one is. We
every
can't be.
Episode.
It's impossible.
Some people think they are.
And then they end up in that house with that man. You know, it's impossible to like live independent of any type of system or.
I mean,
you know
people do
like,
it. People are out there with this man, you know, and his little community that's left. But I'm curious, Asante, you were talking about these offliners. What exactly are they doing? Like, what's the lifestyle?
It was just very specific to how they were. Hold on, let me see if I can get this back up. Because I don't know if it was like a CNBC type thing that came on my YouTube. But it was very specific to these people that were like upset with their everyday lives. And they felt like they shouldn't be having to do certain things like pay taxes or whatever. So they were trying to figure out.
That's a normal thought, I would think. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody thinks.
Right.
That.
But, not but like they truly. They truly just felt like the system that we're in is on some sort of time clock and they just want to be prepared or at least have kids and have it their DNA be prepared for the day that the system crashes. So they try to do everything.
I'm not mad at that. I think you should be prepared.
Like,
like
they're trying to prepare their cells and all that. So they were really trying. Like it was real like, oh, okay. Like I guess like hearing offline or what it was like, I guess this makes sense. But then hearing how seriously they took it, I was like, oh, okay. Like, it's like when you hear somebody goes vegan for the first time, and you feel like they're just saying a whole bunch of stuff like what, like garbanzo. It's like, what are you doing? Like, it felt very much like that. But I guess like one day, maybe not right now, maybe one day, 10 years from now, it'll really make sense for people to be like, yeah, we do need to be ready. Like if more outages like this occur, like, right. I don't know. But it was real specific to how they just felt like the lifestyles that they were living aren't going to be how they live forever and shouldn't be how they lived in the first place. So they were just real bent on getting the fuck rid of this system and trying to build their own shit and just have like healthy skills and figure out how to like build their own stuff or make their own clothes and be sustainable because they felt like it was better for the earth anyway. And that's why the system's going to fail one day. And I was like, oh, well, it all makes sense. But do I feel like it is going to all crash one day? Maybe probably when the global warming actually becomes more realistic to some. But as for right now, people ain't feeling none of this. So I don't know where it's at. But yeah, I need to find that.
Curious. I mean, you know, but either way, these are good conversations to have. And on a smaller scale, even like I activated my old Facebook, like from when I was like in college and all those pictures from like when I was partying, I realized they're all on there, but I don't actually have them. Like, you know, I don't have them on my phone or in any computer. And I was like, damn, all these years of, think of our Instagram. Like, do y'all memories, have all yeah. those pictures backed up? Like all the stuff that's on your IG, all the things you've tweeted. Maybe, I know we don't really use Facebook like that, but exactly. It's like, it just is what it is.
I mean, I ain't going to lie to you. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
I'm just not
going
to answer.
What'd you say, Sante?
I was like, I have one.
Right? Like, I don't have none of those pictures backed up.
I have a bunch of old phones.
That,
I
too.
Have, like, in my... Mm-hmm. In my storage unit, I have a bunch of old laptops that are full of music on the hard drives that I know, you know, I will enjoy at some point whenever I have the time to actually go back and, you know, move the files from there to somewhere else that I have access to currently. But I just, you know, girl, I'd be trying to make it. Okay. I have other shit on my mind and thinking about the shit that already happened.
Right.
You know, or I'm that trying to make new happen. Memories and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, so, you know, I know that I have things back. I know that if I need to access something, I know where to go to find it. Mm-hmm. And I irresponsibly lean on that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Same. Yeah, so that's basically it. I know I need to be much more organized, but you know, new levels, new devils. So at a certain point, I'll have an assistant that can take on those types of projects. You know what I need you to do, baby? Well, not baby, because I'm going to get me too.
Okay, I'm about to
so
say.
So I'll tell my assistant, like, you know what I need you to do? Is archive all of those pictures. You know, I have somebody to do that for me.
And get the Dustin Ross website popping. With all your, with your gallery of gorgeous pictures and all your campaigns, like we really need to get on that.
We do need to be more organized, so we're gonna do that. We're gonna clean up what we messed up. Okay, that's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do.
Is there anything else you guys wanted to touch on in this week's episode before we get out of here?
Nah, I'm just happy that you got your hair cut. It looks great.
Thank you. Get it.
You have new travel hair, so you can have a good time as you travel. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's all. Just good vibes. GVO, like she said on the Housewives of Potomac Sunday, Dr. Wendy Osefo. GVO, good vibes only. That's what we are. GVO.
And next time you guys see me, I will be in my new city, which is super cute. This is my last week here. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm excited.
What's the last thing you're going to eat in New York? What's your last New York meal going to be?
Oh, that's such a good question.
What do you want?
I feel like I need to just keep it real and just get a slice of pizza from the $1 spots down at, you know, in the LES or some shit.
Motherfucking chopped cheese. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Damn, yes. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'll take you to El Puerto, you know what I'm saying? You buy, we fry. Yeah.
You know you got to eat what's real. Yeah, I ain't going to no fancy schmancies. Like, take me to the block. If I still ate chicken, I would get 4 chicken wings fried hard, you know, with an egg roll, some pork fried rice. That would have been the last, for real.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So that's that. And then, all right, well, you out of here, friend.
I'm out of here,
friend,
right?
We love you so much. You're going to have such an amazing time. Your move transition is going to be easy.
Thank
you. It's going to be great. You're going to have such, how you're going to fall in love with your new home. You're going to fall in love housing.
I am, and thank you for all the advice on just like the switch, you know, and the switch of the culture from city life to suburban life, because I know that's going to be a culture shock for me for sure. Like I said, yeah, and it's funny because I was talking to the manager of the property manager, and I was telling him, like, you know, even having a house and a car, like, that's new for me. And he was like, wow, that's so fascinating. He's like, you know, that's something I would never think of. Yeah, like, he's like, that's all he's ever known. But then he said he also would never know how to navigate if he was, like, in a big city like New York, having to take a train, commuting and living in a condo. Like, he's like, that would be so overwhelming for him. So we're just kind of laughing at like the different worlds and how they collide. So I'm excited. It's gonna be a good for my nervous system, you know.
Yes, it will.
Just to kind of start recalibrating.
Smell that fresh, Pacific air.
Okay. Pacific mountain, all those trees and the hikes and just the different food and all the access. And I think for me too, it's like I said, I gotta shake off some of my looking over my shoulder New Yorkness and just not, you know, just realize that like this is gonna be different and it's gonna be good and I'm gonna be all right.
Keep a little bit so a bitch ain't scared to try you.
Well, no, I mean, like I said, wherever humans are gonna human. Yeah. So you always gotta kind of look over your shoulder.
New York, like, you know what I'm saying? Keep you a little bit of that friend.
But you know,
people don't be knowing friend is gangster, like. And you only see it if you there in the moment.
Right, if you see me.
To pull that shit
exactly.
Out. You be like, damn, friend.
Like a
only
real
when
nigga.
It gets pulled, you know? Out. Right. So, okay. But thank you for your advice. I love you guys so much. And those of you listening, if you have any advice too, if you've been the city slicker that now lives in the suburbs, I'd love to hear how the transition went for you too. Leave me some advice, you know, SoundCloud. You know where to find us. And as always, thank you so much for listening. We love you so much, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.